You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, November 21st. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, What About the Nine?
Well, that was good. What an amen. Thank you so much for that. And by the way, God is just, I've said this often, God has been very good to our church. And with all the different abilities and talents that God has given, and it seems like it's just growing and growing and growing, especially in that area, and I'm so appreciative of that. Take your Bible, please, and go back to Luke chapter 17, if you will. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, and it came to pass that he went to Jerusalem and he passed through the midst of the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So here he is. Jesus is going on a journey. Luke chapter 17 and verse 12, the Bible says that he entered into a certain village, and there was 10 men that were lepers, and they stood afar off. And so these men are standing a great distance away, not just from the Lord, but they were already standing afar off before he ever entered into the city. And see, these men were lepers, and so they were standing afar off of everyone. I'll explain that in just a minute. Verse 13, the Bible says, and they lifted up their voices. The Bible says, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So apparently they knew who he was. They knew that this was not just a man passing through, but they knew exactly who he was because they called him by name, Jesus, Master. Verse 14, the Bible says, and he saw them and said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And so note this, that they had to step out in obedience to his spoken word or the cleansing never would have took place. And so for somebody to hear the word of God, yet not obey the word of God, then the hearing of the word of God is not enough to meet the need. So a person not only should hear the word of God, doesn't the Bible say faith without works is dead? All right, so there has to be that which is an activity that's involved after you hear the word of God. The Bible says in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. The Bible says, and he fell down on his face, it says, at his feet, giving him thanks, and it says he was a Samaritan. The Bible says in Jesus, in verse 17, answering said, were it not 10 cleansed? And where are the 9? I want to speak this morning on what about the 9? What about the 9? Here was a man that came back, and he was very thankful for all that God did. But let's not forget this morning that there was 10 lepers, and those 10 lepers all received healing, all received cleansing. The Bible says in verse 18, and there are not found, it says, to return to give thanks, glory to God, save this stranger. Now watch this, if you will. There's always blessing for coming back for more. The Bible says in verse 19, and he said unto him, arise and go thy way, and thy faith, watch it, hath made thee whole. All right? And so here's the 10 lepers that were cleansed. By the way, the cleansing of the leprosy had to start the same way that the leprosy started. It had to be cleansed from the inside out. Okay? And so we see that the leprosy, if you would please, is cleansed, but you'll see the outward evidence of that. But here is a man that returns. And because he returned, now it doesn't say this about the others, but it says this about him. The Bible says that he returned and was made whole. So he wasn't just cleansed, but he was made whole. See, there's more blessing than coming back after God does something in your life. And we live, I believe, in a very ungrateful society. I'm glad that one time a year that our society still has on our calendar as a national holiday, a holiday that's called Thanksgiving. Just the word itself ought to provoke us to be thankful for things that God has done in our life. The traditional story is that there was a man by the name of William Bradford, and he was at Plymouth Rock, and he proclaimed that day a day of celebration for the pilgrims. It was the second year of the New World, and he proclaimed that day that it would be a day that they would come together and they would thank God for the abundance that God had given them. That day took place, of course, in 1621. Some people forget, however, that 11 years prior to that, in Virginia, it was the year 1610, at a place called Jamestown, where a winter came that wiped out most of the pilgrims. The pilgrims were 409 that were settlers. But by the time that they had faced that wintry year, there was only 60 left. They begin to pray, and they prayed that God would send supply, and God did. God sent a ship from England, and they began on that day to rejoice 11 years earlier than what we say was the first day of Thanksgiving with William Bradford. But 11 years earlier, they begin to thank God for all that God did in their life. Now, by the way, just because somebody else doesn't recognize Thanksgiving in their life does not mean that you should not recognize Thanksgiving in your life. Just because somebody else has not had God do something special in their life doesn't mean that we cannot be all thankful for all that God has done in our life. It was in 1789 that President George Washington proclaimed November the 26th as a national holiday. Listen to it now. His words of thanksgiving unto our Lord. So it was a time that our nation came together to celebrate Thanksgiving in the name of the Lord. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln revived the dead holiday and brought it back as a tradition of giving thanks to our Lord. In 1941, the United States Congress declared a decree that on the fourth Thursday of every November would be a national holiday giving thanksgiving unto our Lord. And so it's very important that we understand what God does for us. And what I want to do, let's take our Bibles this morning and let's notice something. Look at Luke chapter 17, look at verse 12. Luke chapter 17 and verse 12, the Bible says, and he entered into a certain village and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. So I want you to see something here. There is the condition of the lepers. And by the way, that's a good picture of us before we got saved. You know, before we got saved, leprosy, if you compare leprosy to a person that has never been forgiven, that has never experienced salvation, that it depicts that which is a sin that separates you from God and heaven. It's a perfect picture of that which is sin and separation from righteousness. And so notice this, statement number one. There's the condition of the lepers. The lepers had a condition. Now, this condition was painful. Anybody that has ever had leprosy, it is a painful condition. It created a stigma along with the disease. Matter of fact, the Bible says, you'll note there, that they stood afar off. As they were standing afar off, it was because of the law. If you will, there was a law that was among the Jews, the Mosaic law, that said that a leper had to stand 100 paces away from anyone else. Matter of fact, they were not allowed to go into the tabernacle. They were not allowed to go into the temple. They were only supposed to live and die to themselves. Well, what a miserable state of being. What a miserable state of being to have a disease that is written all over your body. Saint remembers the lady that your dad used to take me by to see all the time. And the lady had leprosy. You remember the lady? Had leprosy, and she lived in a house. And Saint's dad and I would go by, and many times Saint would be with us when he was soul winning on that street. And we would go by and we would visit this lady that had leprosy. And I remember the first time I ever went in and I sat, she had a wooden bed. And of course, that's the way that they many, many, many Thai people sleep because of the economy and the state of being. And so she had a wooden bed. And so she was laying on that wooden bed. And I remember Brother John Hong asked me to sit down beside her and to have prayer with her. And I remember the first time I ever did that, as I sat down on that wooden bed, I noticed that there was some little round things towards the end of the bed. And that was her toes that had fallen off. And see, that's what leprosy does. Leprosy begins to eat away at a person and begins to eat the members off of a person's body, the fingers and the nose and the ears and the lips and that which is the toes and stuff like that. And it attacks the extremities of the body. Now, and that's what sin does. You know, sin will attack us and sin will destroy us. And how many times have you seen a person and they say they're 40 years of age, but they look like they're in their 60s? How many times have you seen people that have lived out on the street and they've lost their teeth and they've lost all sorts of the ways that they're able to get around because they have dove into sin? Now, wait a minute, watch this. And so you see the condition of the lepers. What were they like? Well, comparatively speaking, they were just like somebody that was living in sin. They were like somebody that had dove into sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so sin will continue to rid someone and to destroy someone. There was a guy when I lived in Brooklyn, New York. We'd go down on Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn, not in Manhattan, but Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn. And I'd take our teenagers out soul winning down Fifth Avenue. And so a lot of people would be walking up and down Fifth Avenue. And so we go down Fifth Avenue and we go soul winning. We'd stop people and we'd tell them about the Lord. And it was an exciting time. But on this particular corner, there was this man that always stood there. I mean, you could almost mark it down that every Saturday you went out soul winning from 10 o'clock and then we'd come back to the church and eat about 1 o'clock. Then we had another soul winning time that bled into a youth activity in the evening time, and then they'd go home. So the teenagers stayed with us almost all day on Saturday. And so we go out soul winning, and almost every Saturday morning when we were down there soul winning about 10 o'clock, you always knew that this man was going to be on that certain street corner and he was going to have his little tin cup and he was sitting there and he was begging money. Well, you know, I wanted to know his background. I mean, here he is every single Saturday morning. He is sitting there, little tin cup, begging money. And so I went over one day and I witnessed to him, of course, but I talked to him. I wanted to find out his background. And to my surprise, he was a former lawyer working for a law firm downtown Manhattan. But things went bad. He lost his job. He lost his wife. He lost his kids. He gave up on life. And that's what sin does. You know, he started drinking. He told me. He started drinking a little bit. And it got worse and it got worse. He lost his job. And they lost their apartment. And they lost this and they lost that. But that's how sin starts. You know, sin starts just a little bit. And we look at it and say, oh, that's not all that bad. You know, my son told a little lie. My daughter did a little wrong thing. Or the employees that worked for me, they just did a little wrong thing. Or, you know, after all, we've just sinned against each other a little bit. But we've got to look at sin and see how horrid it is. We've got to look at sin and see how wretched it is. We've got to look at sin and see the end result of sin. And the end result of sin is never a pretty picture. The end result of sin is never a nice painting. The end result of sin is something that will separate us not just from the Lord, but separate us from our kin, separate us from our friends and our loved ones. And that's exactly what took place with leprosy. You know, leprosy here was separating, totally separated from the entire town. Can you imagine? Somebody invites you over and says, would you come eat Thanksgiving with us? Can't do it. Sorry, I've got leprosy. Well, would you come over and just play with the kids? Would you let your kids play with our kids? Can't do it. They've got leprosy. I mean, here's a person that is totally shut out of society. Here's a person, and by the way, did you know this? As I visited in my travels in Cambodia and different places, and I visited people that have leprosy, did you know this? They feel like they're shut out. They feel like there's no hope. They feel like nobody cares for them. And how many times have I come across a person in Texas that feels the same way? You go out and you knock on a door and some of them are down and some of them are depressed and some of them are saying, you know, there is no hope. But may I say, when Jesus passed through, when Jesus comes to your town, when Jesus passes through your village, there's always hope. Why? Because he's the hope of glory. You don't have to do it by yourself. And by the way, you cannot do it by yourself. A person that has leprosy, just like a person that has sin, cannot all of a sudden stand up and say, I'll tell you what, today I proclaim myself healed. They can proclaim it all they want to, but they need somebody that's greater than they are. They need somebody that has more power than they do. They need somebody that has all of God working in them and through them, and there's no other person under heaven whereby you're going to see that those knees are going to bend and bow other than Jesus Christ. Well, watch this. Statement number one, the leper's condition. Watch this, though. Look at it. Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 13. Luke chapter 17, verse 13. The Bible says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew who to call out to. So many times we have a problem. Here's what we do. We'll get on the telephone. We'll call our friend. And we'll say, friend, best friend, relative, grandma, grandpa. And when it really gets bad, mother-in-law, have mercy on us. You know what mercy is? Mercy is God withholding his judgment. Rightfully so. I don't care how bad today is. I went out to wake up people this morning, and I made some phone calls and stuff like that, and all sorts of stuff. And today, I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but it's a dreary day. People did not want to get out of bed. I don't know why. I don't know if they didn't want to get out of bed because they thought, you know, if I get just one more hour sleep, the wrinkles will disappear. I don't know. But man, just a dreary day. You walk around, you shake somebody's hand, you smile. It's great to see. And it's like, I mean, it's like they're here, but it's like a cloud that's hanging. I don't know if it's because it's that way outside, but just because, listen to me, just because it's that way outside doesn't mean it has to be that way on the inside. And so here's these that are lepers, and these that are lepers, they see him coming through. They know who he is. They've heard about this one that's called Jesus. They know who he is. His reputation has preceded him. And as he gets closer, they begin to call out. And by the way, they're not saying Jesus, Rabbi. They're not saying Jesus, Prophet. They're saying Master, Lord. Hey, they're saying Master, Jesus. They're calling out his name. Why? Because they know the only one that can help them in their despair, in their loneliness, in their depression, in their state of being is Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so here's what they're doing. They're calling out for mercy. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And so it's Christ that died for that which is you and I. So statement number one, here's what you see. The leper's condition. Statement number two, you see the leper's cry. And by the way, these lepers were just like Naaman, the Syrian, if you will, please, in the Old Testament. There had to come a time in both of these incidences. He was told what to do. Watch me. Told what to do. Watch me. Told what to do. But if he hadn't risen up and did what he was told what to do, he never would have been healed. These lepers were told what to do. Here's what the Lord said. Here's what I want you to do. He says, go to the priest. And by the way, as they went to the priest, as they stepped out by faith. See, it's one thing for us to come to church. Watch me. One thing for us to come to church and we sit in church. And boy, the preaching, wow, you know, we like it. And we sit there and say, that's good stuff. That's exciting stuff. Yeah. Come on, preacher. And boy, you really like it when I get on somebody else's sin. When I don't sit on you, you get excited. And so the more that I stay away from you, the more you shout amen. The more I come near you, the quieter you get. I always know when I'm getting close to somebody because it gets quieter. And you really know when you get close to somebody when all of a sudden they bow their heads for prayer and it's not even close to that time yet. Or they get antsy. Have you ever seen somebody get antsy in church? I mean, you know the Holy Ghost of God has just rung their bell. You know why? Because they can't sit still. They're looking for a quiet way to the exit door and hope that nobody will see them. Amen. And by the way, you're doing good. Nobody has gotten up and had to take a bathroom break yet. That's good. God bless you. All right, now watch this, if you will. Here's what you see. The Bible talks about, here's the lepers. Here's their cry. They're crying out, but they're crying out to the right one. But not only is he telling them what to do, they've got to do what he said to do. That's like you go to a medical doctor and you've got cancer, and the medical doctor says, here's the cure. I've got the vial. For X amount of dollars, you can have the vial. You buy the vial. You take the vial home and you admire it. It's a pretty vial. You put it in your medicine cabinet. And every day you get up and say, that's a beautiful vial. And if I take that, I'm healed. Woo! Boy, if I take it, I'm okay. Boy, if I take it, I'm not going to have this disease any longer. That's a beautiful vial. And all I've got to do is take the vial. And you shut the cabinet door. And the next day you come in, you look at beautiful vial, still there, paid big money for that vial. That vial contains the ultimate remedy. And if I take it, I'm healed. You shut the door. You know what's going to happen to you? If you keep shutting the door, you will die. Hello. These lepers had the ultimate cure walking through their town. There's only one. There's only one that could do it. There's only one that could intercede for it. There's only one that God is going to use. And so what takes place is these lepers see him coming. They say, Master Jesus, I have mercy. Why'd they ask him for mercy? Because they knew his connection. Amen. I wonder sometimes if the reason people don't ask us for help is because they don't know our connection. Amen. Watch this. You'll see the leprosy's condition. You'll also see the leprosy's cry, the leper's cry, if you will. Then you'll see the leper's, I love this, celebration. Watch this. Look at verse 14 and I'm done. The Bible says when he saw them, he said unto them, go show, it says, yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So he told them what to do. They went and in the process, watch me now, in the process of going, they were cleansed. Verse 15, the Bible says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. He didn't hesitate. He didn't think about it. He didn't pray about it. He wasn't saying, is it a good day to turn back? Maybe I'll turn back tomorrow. Maybe I'm going to go home, get something to eat first, then I'll turn back. No, he turned back immediately. The Bible says, and with a loud voice, glorified God. So he's not quiet about it. Man, he's shouting. You know why he's shouting? Because he's probably a Baptist. I mean, here's this big mouth Baptist, and he's coming back, and he said, hey, God healed me. You imagine that? That's almost like, I'm telling you, Brother McCarty coming to a volleyball game. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse 16, and fell down on his face, watch it now, at his feet, giving thanks. The Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were outcast. So not only did he have leprosy, but here was that which was Jesus. Jesus coming through. Jesus, of course, being in alignment with the Jews. And what takes place is here's the Samaritan. He's got double reason to praise God. Watch this. Here it is. The Bible says in verse 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? I mean, come on. Did not 10 people receive? Didn't 10 people get saved? Didn't 10 people get healed? Didn't I work in 10 people's life? Watch it. But where are the 9? That's a pretty good question. I mean, don't you think everybody ought to be thankful? Hey, you're saved today. You ought to be thankful. Well, when a preacher gets up and preachers start preaching about salvation, you ought to be, as a lady, you ought to be waving that hanky and grinning and spitting on everybody in front of you. And as a man, you ought to be shouting amen and glory to God and hallelujah. And hey, don't ever get over salvation. Watch what it says. The Bible says in verse 18, the Bible says, and there was, it says, not found, it says, that return. It says to give glory to God, save this stranger. The Bible says, and he said unto him, arise and go thy way, and thy faith had made thee whole. Now, the other fellows just got cleansed, but he was made whole. Now, I don't know about you, but it's just being cleansed on the outside. I like to be made whole on the inside. Amen. And so he was made whole. Now, listen to this, if you will. And so the Bible teaches here that here was a man that came. And by the way, not comparing himself to anybody else. Years ago, I read this. Years ago, there were some Jewish rabbis, and they lived in a dormitory. There's nine of them, lived in a dormitory. And they're always going. Now, these guys were neat. I mean, they were neat. They made sure everything was in order. They made sure shoes was in order. They made sure that their, the rabbi outfit and all that stuff, it was on, hanging up, pressed. I mean, these guys were neat guys. But when something would get out of order, it got them upset. I got a friend of mine. I'll not say his name, but he lives in Mississippi. And, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, not on the Mississippi side. Memphis, Tennessee, and he likes everything in order. You've been in his church. He likes everything in order. He and I was preaching a huge conference in the Philippines, and he came to me and he said, "Now, Brother Wells," he said, "I couldn't sleep last night." I said, "Why couldn't you sleep?" I called his name. I said, "Why couldn't you sleep?" He said, "Because there's a shelf in the bathroom that's crooked." He said, "And all night long." He said, "I laid there thinking about that crooked shelf in the bathroom." He said, "It bothered me all night long." And I said, "So why didn't you go knock it off the wall? Take it down, straighten it up." He said, "Well, I couldn't do that." He said, "So all night long, I was in Bible college one year. And when I first went to Bible college, we had dorm suits. And I was used to mama. But I found out a dorm soup is not like mama. They gave demerits when you're not clean. And I thought that is mean. But I'd be at home and I'd take my shirt off and I'd try to three-point it in the laundry basket. And if I missed, I missed. I mean, I'd pick it up. I would, eventually. But when I was in Bible college, I get demerits for it. I remember when I first got married, Mrs. Wells and I, we had our own place, and I was taking off my shirt or something, I don't know, shoes or socks, or not shoes, you don't throw them in the laundry basket, but socks, and I heaved them towards the laundry basket, and I missed. And my wife looked at me, and she said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, nothing." And she said, "You mean you're just going to leave it there?" I said, "Well, I'll pick it up when I go by, but I'm not going to make a willful effort. That's why I shot it. But when I get to it, I'll get to it." And she said, "You're not going to do that, are you? You're not going to leave that dirty piece of whatever on my clean floor?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not." And I went over. I have been trained by my wife. And I went over and I picked that thing up and I put it. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. You know, this dear brother, he's used to that. I'd walk in his hotel room and everything was lined up. Shoes was lined up. I mean, shirts already neatly pressed. Tie that's going to go with the shirt. The suit hanging beside the tie that goes with the shirt. And all neatly pressed. And so, you know, I'd give him a hard time. Well, years ago, these Jewish rabbis was about the same way. I mean, everything was perfect. Boy, but when somebody get out of line, they get out of line with each other. I mean, boy, they just rib each other. Can't believe you did rib each other. So they went to the man that was over them, and he said, "I want you to get a dog. Get a dog. It'll take care of your problem. Get a dog. Stay with me." So they went out, and they got a dog for the dorm. Now, the dog did not have the propriety to do what they were doing. He did not practice rabbi etiquette. So the dog would pick the shoes up and put them anywhere he wanted them. And he would, I mean, boy, I'm talking about the shoes would be dry. By the time he got done with them, they were wet. I'm talking about clothes spread everywhere from here to yonder and in between. So finally, you know, that rabbi came back and he said, now, he said, this isn't working. He said, and he complained about this and complained about that dog, it's just not working. And so they got rid of the dog, you know, and he became very thankful for those that was in the dormitory, those other eight with him after that. You know, sometimes we, stay with me, I'm speaking about, what about the nine? Sometimes we're not thankful for what God does for us because we're in the midst of it. But wouldn't it be good during the Thanksgiving holiday that you became thankful for your wife or for your husband, for your children or your children, for that which is their parents? You know, when God does something special in your life, you ought to thank God for it. Come on, Brother Dowdy, out of the hospital. That's a good thing. Brother Alvarez, out of the hospital. Brother Putman's getting ready to go in to have a procedure done. And Mrs. Zapata's getting ready to have some more tests done. And others are facing some type of calamities inside of their physical body. But, boy, it's a good thing. Hey, let's be thankful every time God does something. Hey, don't be one that takes God for granted. When God does something inside of your life, you be the one to say, praise God. You be the one to say, praise the Lord. You be the one. Be excited about what God's going to do. You be excited about what God, I love this, you be excited about what God's going to do in your life and you come back to Him. Come back to Him. You know, it behooves me, how many Christians walk away from God? It behooves me. How many Christians walk away from God? Saved, washed in the blood, sealed to the day of redemption. God's been good to you, and it behooves me. Wouldn't it be good just to be able to come back? And by the way, the one that came back is the only one in the Bible that we read about that was made whole. The other ones were just cleansed. But this man went away whole. By the way, that means whole on the outside and whole on the inside. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because there's a great advantage just to come back. You get more the first time. All right, listen to me. You get healed the first time. You get cleansed the first time, but you get more the second time. That's like going back to the dinner to eat a second portion. Amen. That's like going back, if you will, please, to a place that treated you right. Just to be thankful. You know, I found this out to be true, and I'm done. But not all restaurants in Mesquite or Dallas or Forney or Terrell or Garland are the same. They may look the same on the outside, but when you get inside, there is a different clientele. Man, you get inside and you have a waiter, you have a waitress, and boy, you know, I had a waiter or a waitress. When I first came here, I forget which one it was, but it was almost like I ruined her day just by showing up at the table. She almost came with the attitude of, what do you want? And you feel like crawling out and saying, nothing. Sorry to ruin your day. Hope you can find pay some other way. But you know, when you go to those certain restaurants, I mean, they're right up here. Come on. You know what you do? You remember them. And if you're like me, I write them down. And I will go back again. Amen. And I will go back again. Come on. You know, I've heard people say this. I'm done. But I heard people say this. Boy, I tell you what, I am never going to Walmart again. I am never going to Walmart again. Because I went to Walmart and they treated me bad. I am fed up. Walmart. Never. But here's what they're doing. They're putting one Walmart. Listen to me. It's the way some people treat church. They're taking one Walmart and they're saying, I had a bad experience at that place. So all of them must be the same, so I'm never going to go back to any of them again. Come on. I don't know why the nine didn't come back, but I'm very thankful this morning that the one did. Because that one reminds us of what God will do for us once you're saved, once God does a work in your life, if you just keep coming back, the more He meets your need, and the more we can be thankful.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.